Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy and delight to come to you. And we're in the Epistle of John, chapter 3. Fellowshipping with God who is righteous. Now, when you think about that, just stop and analyze it. Is it possible for men and women on earth to really have intimate fellowship with a righteous God? Yes. But you see, we're so frail, we fail God so much. Yes, but God has made all the provision. I say all the provision whereby you can live and walk in fellowship and delight the heart of one who is righteous. Just think the living God, the righteous God, desires your fellowship. And he has made provision for that as we've been following it through in chapter 3. At the end of chapter 2, the 29th verse, You know that he is righteous, and he that doeth righteousness is born of him, related to a righteous God. And we've told you before in past lessons that God has imputed righteousness to every believer in his Son. In fact, Jesus Christ has been made unto us righteousness. So we stand before God in all the righteousness and beauty of the Son of God himself. And this relationship with God is a settled thing, settled once for all forever. And it's based upon his love for us. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We have become the objects of the love of an infinite God. No wonder Jesus could say, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And there Jeremiah could say in Jeremiah 31:3, behold, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with cords of love have I drawn thee. Just think of it. Think of it for a moment. Let it get right down into your heart, into your mind. You who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, whether you've just become a Christian or maybe you've been on the road for 50 or 60 years, makes no difference. You're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And to know that you come before your heavenly Father who is absolute in righteousness, you can come into his presence. And his love has made this provision. The immeasurable love of Christ. You can't measure it. No man has the capacity to measure the love of God. It's enough for me to say that love reached down and got a hold of Mitchell. And it reached down and got a hold of you. And he drew us to himself and made us his children. And he wants to do this with every man and woman. As 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's provided a mediator. He's provided a sacrifice. Now, we are the children of God now. The world doesn't know us. Why? Because it didn't know him. And I again repeat the statement that ignorance of God is the ground of sin, the ground of rebellion against God. You know, people don't hate you personally. They hate the one who indwells you. I know in my own experience before I became a Christian, and working in the shops, in machine shops, that I sat down on the bench and heard all their stories and could curse like the rest of them. Then I became a Christian. And when I sat on the bench, all talking ceased. I was an embarrassment to them. They weren't angry at me. Christ had come between them and me. I was a child of God. They were children of wrath. I want you to know, my Christian friend, how can I put it? I want you to see the dignity, the honor, the marvel of it all. We are now children of God. Verse 2. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It's not yet in appearance what we're going to be like. But we know, we know, that when we see Jesus, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. It's what we were discussing as we closed last week. See, Our Lord is the model. We're going to see him. And I give you these verses, Romans 8:29. God has predestined or determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I gave you Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. Likewise in Philippians 3:20-21. And change these bodies and fashion them like unto his own glorious body. I think that's what Peter means in 1 Peter 1:5. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto a salvation yet to be revealed at the last time. What salvation? The redemption of the body, as Romans 8:23-24 declare. One could go on. But the marvel is we're going to be like him. And by the way, you have to be like him to enter into heaven. You mean I'm going to be like him? Yes. How are you going to stand before God? God will accept nothing less. God will accept nothing less. But you say, I'm full of failure and weaknesses. That's right. All of us are down here. Mitchell too. But God never sees us apart from his Son. We're accepted in the Beloved. Isn't it wonderful? You and I can come right into the very presence of God. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. What do you think he's doing now? Allow the digression for a moment. Who keeps you now on this earth with all our frailty? Why, Hebrews 7:25 says he's able to save perfectly all those who come unto God by him. All those who come unto God by him, that's you and me and every other Christian. Why? Because he ever liveth to make intercession for them. All the divine provision for our every need. We're going to stand perfect. Hebrews 10:14 says, by the one offering at the cross, he hath perfected forever those whom he hath set apart, whereof the Holy Spirit is a witness unto us. Of what? Of the fact of our perfection in Christ. I haven't experienced it all. Oh, no. But when I see him, I'll be like him. When I see him, I'll have the capacity to understand, to know, to experience a life in God with no failure. But down here, we're in frailty. Down here, we're in weakness. But that doesn't mean that we will not see him. The guarantee. Listen, my friend, the guarantee you're going to be like him is because you're in his family. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And no one knows down here on earth what we're going to be like, except we're going to be like him. And when he appears in glory, we too shall appear with him. And glory will be like him. You know, a missionary was in Africa, was translating the Bible into the language of the people among whom he worked. And he had a native teacher, one who had come to know the Savior. And they worked on the Bible until they come to this verse. When he shall appear, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And the native teacher said to the missionary, as he laid down his pen while doing translation work, he said, quote, no, I cannot write these words. It is too much. Let us write, we shall kiss his feet. But that isn't what it says. Is it too much? Is it too much for the Father's love to take those whom he purchased for himself, to make them just like his Son? Friend, this is God's program. This is God's purpose. I know we're down here in frailty. I know we have tests and trials and failures and you name it. Sorrows and everything else. This is part of God's program of fitting us for his presence. See, look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 says what? we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. My friend, listen, if contemplation of Christ changes us now, what will it be when we see Him? What will it be when we see Him? I repeat, no wonder John in Revelation 22 said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." You see, someone has well said, and I quote this, "Sonship starts from life, expressed in love, marked by loyalty, and culminates in likeness." End of quotation. When will this be? When we see Him? Don't you love those verses? John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Huh? He's not going to send an angel for us. He's going to come Himself. Just like Thessalonians chapter 4, you remember, "We do not sorrow as the rest which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go ahead of those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Or you take that passage in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Do you remember it? Or you take verse 20, where it says, "Christ was the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ, it is coming, and then cometh the end." Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that is, we'll not all die, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," the last trump. "The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption." We're all going to be changed and to be made just like Jesus. I tell you, friend, death and the grave are already defeated, as you have in Revelation 1:18. "I am He that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the authority of death and of hell." You see, the world will not see the Lord when He comes for us. Oh, no. Oh, no. The world will not see Jesus until He returns to the earth. You remember Revelation 1:7 says He's going to come in the clouds of heaven, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who pierced Him. And the nations of the earth shall wail, wail, W-A-I-L, shall wail before Him. "Even so come, I'm the El Shaddai." The world will not see Him. Take Zechariah chapter 12. The Jews as a nation will not receive Him until they see Him coming. And they will see Him with the pierced hands and pierced feet. And they shall say, "Where did you receive these wounds?" And He shall say, "I received them in the house of my friends." But that's just coming to the earth. And I'm not going to say any more about that. I'm talking about us who are the children of God now, the special objects of His love and His affection. Now, what is the present experience? Our future experience? Going to be like Him. And I can say, well, David, in the 17th Psalm, the last verse, remember it? "I shall be satisfied when I awake in Thy likeness." Or even Job could say in Job 19, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and His feet shall stand upon the earth in the latter day, and though worms destroy this body, I shall yet in my flesh see God by my side. And when I see Him, Behold, he is not a stranger. O friend, is Jesus a stranger to you? Is Jesus a stranger to you? Every one of us have got to stand in his presence. The whole world has got to stand in his presence. For the Christian, he's going to come for us and take us out of this scene, make us just like himself. But the rest are left on the earth to experience the judgments of God. Then the Lord's going to return to the earth, and every eye shall see him, and he shall reign from one end of the earth to the other. He shall reign as Lord of lords and King of kings. That's when we shall have a reign of righteousness. But for the present, may I suggest, the practical experience of this, our present experience, the effect of this hope upon us. Now notice, everyone who hath this hope set on him, purify themselves, even as he is pure. The third verse. The effect of this hope. The folly for me, listen to me now, the folly for me to talk and expect the coming of the Lord Jesus for his own and not live godly in Christ Jesus. My friend, he may come today, and the standard of purity is not the world. The standard of purity is the Son of God himself, the righteous Son of God. And everyone who is a child of God and hath this hope set upon him, purify themselves, even as he is pure. Occupation with the Son of God. Expectation of seeing him whom having not seen we love will cause us to live godly in Christ Jesus. Oh, but if I live that way, I'm going to suffer. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. But your suffering will be from the world. Oh, you see, I get some of that suffering from professing Christians. I'm sorry to hear that. And possibly you're true, but there are those Christians who don't make life very, very easy for you. I'm sorry for that. Do you know why? They have lost the love of his appearing. Do you remember that verse of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4? There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Everyone who hath this hope set on him purifies himself, even as he is pure. I must make this statement. There are a great many of God's children. I'm not questioning their relationship. There are a great many of God's children who believe doctrinally in the coming of the Lord Jesus. They believe in the translation of the church. They believe all the doctrine concerning the coming of our Lord. But they don't love his appearing. They love this world. I see where a humanistic philosophy has gripped the world, and I must say, in many, many places, a materialistic philosophy has got a hold of God's children. And I'm more than sorry to say there are too many of God's children who are living loose lives. They've been affected by the permissiveness of the day as if that were the standard. Oh, listen, Christian friend, child of God, let me appeal to your heart today. The Lord Jesus may come today. Where will he find you when he comes? Where will he find you when he comes? What will he find you doing when he comes? What will he find you saying when he comes? If I love his appearing, if I believe I'm going to be just like him, if I believe I'm going to see him face to face, be transformed, how should I live down here in the world? He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Remember, we are related to a righteous God. And yet this is called the blessed hope. Of course it is. Why shouldn't it be the blessed hope? Exchange earth for heaven. Frailty for power. Uncomeliness for beauty. Oh, Christian friend, let me plead with your heart today to live today and tomorrow until our Lord Jesus comes, to fashion your life not according to this world, but be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. You might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. High time to throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in envy and strife, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof. I'm quoting the last verse, or the last few verses of Romans chapter 13, from verse 11, right on down to the end of the chapter. I want you folk to know that the Lord Jesus may come today. I ask you the question, do you love his appearing? I'm not asking you, do you believe in it? I'm asking you, do you love his appearing? And everyone who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And every Christian, the fathers, the young men and the babies, the spiritual and the carnal, every real believer in Christ Jesus will be transformed and made like unto the Savior. And I'll tell you, my friend, if contemplation of Christ today affects our lives, what will it be when we see him? The more I'm occupied with Christ Jesus today, with his blessed person, the more I want to be like him in my walk and conversation. And if this affects me in my contemplation of Christ, what's it going to be when I see him face to face? Oh, precious child of God, may you live today in anticipation of seeing your Savior. Now, I'm talking to an unsaved person, my friend. I plead with you today to accept him while it is still called today. If the Lord should come today, the day of grace is over. The day of grace is over. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And the Lord is saying to you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He means it. Why don't you accept him today? And pass from death to life. Become a child of a living, holy, righteous God, as well as a God of love. Now the Lord bless you for his wonderful name's sake.